so long. Let's discuss today, in a few minutes, let's discuss today the Asara Haruge Malchus. Okay, by the way, let me tell you some scheduling. Next week is the last week before Tisha B'Av. I would like to spend some time learning the Kinos. So there are four Shiurim during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so forth. So maybe we're going to learn next week, the entire week, we're going to learn Kinos.
We should try to bring out.
The Shul has. We don't have to bring anything. The Shul, Baruch Hashem, they have here. They have to bring it up. We have to get someone to bring it from the shul. We used to have it over here on this shelf. I think they still do. I have to go check if they have it. So the shul has kinos. I would like to spend some time learning the kinos. We should be prepared for Tisha B'Av. I have an appreciation of the kinos. There are 45 kinos. I don't know if we'll do every single one, but we'll just try the best that we can to go through the basic ideas that are presented in the kinos, of course, Nusach Ashkenaz. Okay, the Sfardim, the Persians, they have their own version, but we'll do the Nusach Ashkenaz.
Instead of Sefer
Hasidim? Possibly, yeah. Possibly, we'll divide up the time between Halacha. We have to also learn the Halachas of the 9 days and the Halachas of Tisha B'Av, which there are a lot. I want to spend some time on that as well. I'm not sure if we'll do have a text or we'll just do it outside, and we'll also to learn about the kinos. So we're probably not going to do Sefer Chassid. We're probably going to learn everyday halachos of the 9 days in Tisha B'Av, followed by kinos. Okay, that's what we're going to do next week. But we have still today and tomorrow. Today, let's talk about a topic, which is Gesundheit, which is one of the kinos of Tisha B'Av, and that is the topic of the Asara Haruge Malchus. The Asara Haruge Malchus is a very, very big topic. One year, I remember, we learned inside the Medrash Eila Ezkira. There's a Medrash. I mean, we gave it out. It's a very long Medrash, and there are two or three versions of the Asara Haruge Malchus. And a lot of the stuff that's in the Medrash is not so well known. You'd be surprised. A lot of these things, that not everyone heard of the ideas. The whole story behind the Asara Haruge Malchus. We're not going to spend time on it. Now I just want to just lay out some basic insights and maybe one or two important ideas. First of all, the Asara Haruge Malchus in the Kinos that we read on Tisha B'Av only has 8. 2 of the Asara Haruge Malchus are missing. And it's a big question why. What happened to those 2? Were they omitted by design, or due to the long galus was the Kinos just somehow, it became corrupted and they were left out? I don't know, but some of the better kinos added in 2 lines at the end, which mashlim the 8 to the 10. So you'll count the Sarugi Malchus in your standard kinos, you will only count 8, even though it says in the kina itself, Haruge Malchus Asara. We like to say the Asara Haruge Malchus. In the kin that we read on Tisha B'Av, Arze Halavon, and the words are in a different order, and maybe we have time, we'll talk about that. It's Haruge Malchus Asara. The Haruge Malchus, which are 10, and then as you count their names, you only conclude with 8. Where are the 2? Was it by design 2 should be left out and arouse our curiosity? Or is it really 10, and for some reason 2-3 lines of the piyut, of the kina, disappeared for some unexpected? Maybe, not likely. Yom Kippur, I don't know. You know what? It's a good question. I didn't pay attention to Yom Kippur. I don't know. We on Yom Kippur, Ashkenaz, we say a different kina. We say Eila Eskra. The kina of Yom Kippur is much, much more elaborate. What do we mean it's more elaborate? It tells us the background, at least part of the background behind why the Asara Haruge Malchus were killed. The Kesar, for some reason, he decided he had nothing better to do. He went to Kailal to learn Torah. And when he went to Kailal, he learned there that it says in the Aseres HaDibrois, if you kidnap a human being, and you use him as a slave, you work with him as a slave, the person that does so is chayiv misa. And the Kesar realized that the Aseres HaShvatim, they sold Yosef. They were in violation of stealing, of kidnapping, and selling their brother as a slave. Therefore, the brothers, the Shiftei Kor, were chayiv misa. So this arrogant Kesa felt that since justice was never served, he's going to play God, and he's now going to hold accountable the Talmidei Chacham of his generation who lived, 2,000 years since the Maisa of the Aseres HaShvatim, accountable, and he's going to execute them. And he did, in a very brutal way. Question is, we learned this in the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim says, "Lo yumsu avos al banim, banim lo yumsu al avos." The Torah says there's no such thing. After four generations, you're not held accountable for your parents' sins. So why in the world would he be allowed? Does he even think that he can hold accountable Talmidei Chacham of his generation for the sins of the Aseres HaShvatim? What's going on over here? And to make matters even more confusing, in the Kinah it says that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, he went up to Shemayim with the Shem Hashem, and he spoke to Gavriel, the Malach, and he asked him if such a gzera was sanctioned by heaven, and the Malach said yes. They've been teveya, the sin, the chait of the Aseres HaShvatim, Mechiras Yosef, yes. So it's a shocking thing how it can be that so many generations later, they can still be held accountable. It's not all clear. We discussed in Sefer Chassidim, he gave this very, very fascinating answer, is that there are many exceptions to the rule of four generations. And this qualified as one of them. All right, now, one thing I always like to point out is this is a Sefer called the Shalshelas HaKabbalah. And this is a Sefer, I think it was written in the 1400s. And the Mechaber is more of a historian than is of a Sefer. And he challenges the Paitanim. And he says that the Paitanim, they fabricated this whole thing. He says that it's not shy. In the world of halacha, it's not possible. We're not a religion of hocus pocus. That lo yumsu avos, the pasuk in the Torah. Don't ignore what it says in the Torah. Lo yumsu avos al banim, abanim lo yumsu al avos. So don't go make up things and say that 2,000 years later, Talmidei Chacham are being held accountable for the sins of the Shiftei Ka. The Shiftei Ka can take care of themselves. It's not for us, in our generation, even to talk like this. And he says the Paitanim, what?
He said the brother, because of the brother, you're not going to make a shidduch. But now you're saying because of
what? What is the brother? A person is now, the person now wants to get married. The Sefer Chassidim.
Right.
He's going to marry a woman that according to the halach, according to the literal understanding of halach and the Sefer Chassidim's understanding, the statistics are that his children will be Bali Avera. So all the Sefer Chassidim says is that he, this man, who can marry anyone that he wants, he has a list of girls that are dying to marry him, and he chooses B'davka to marry this woman who has brothers that are problematic, and according to Chazal, will result in him having children that will be problematic. He himself, no one but him, will be responsible for his actions. What does it have to do with the Asar HaGemalchus who lived 2,000 years after people who sold their brother, they have to suffer the crime of someone else? There's no comparison. The Shalshelas HaKabbalah says, Bodu Milibam, the Paitanim fabricated the entire thing. In order to inspire people to cry, to have emotion, they can relate to it. He fabricated the whole thing. Okay, that's what it says. The Shalshelas HaKabbalah, don't get too carried away with this story and these things. There's no makar for this. You can't say such a thing. This is not a healthy way. It's not a healthy way to be an Orthodox Jew, to work with Gilgulim, to work with these Inyanim. It's not a healthy thing. Now, that's what he says, and many have taken note of what he said, as, you know, he says something very important. Yet, at the end of the day, the Shalshelas HaKabbalah is in the minority. Okay, he said it, we've taken note, it's something to be aware of, but the bottom line is it's not accepted. The bottom line is that we fully are maminim, we've been saying this piece for generations, is that we have no idea what it means, but we take it very seriously that what's happening on Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim is really a reenactment, a din v'cheshvan for Mechiras Yosef. And by the way, one important point that supports the Shalshelas HaKabbalah is that on Yom Kippur, at Tisha B'Av, there is absolutely no mention of Mechiras Yosef. The whole elaboration with the shoes, they sold their brother for shoes, And this whole story with the Kesar and in the Shmuel Kohen Gadol goes to Shemayim with the Shem Hashem and he asks, is it true or not? All of these details appear in the piyut of Eila Eskira on Yom HaKippurim. But on Tisha B'Av, Eila Eskira, there is not a remez, not the slightest hint, mention of any in Yonei Kabbalah. It's pure, pure tragedy. There were 10 Talmidei Chachamim, outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, that lived in the aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni. They lived in the time of Beitar, and what Chazal called the Doiroi Shel Shemad. It's approximately 52 years. Between 52 and 92 years, they were outstanding Talmidei Chacham, which the whole Klal Yisrael relied on for guidance. They were brutally murdered for no reason, for no crime, no understanding why it happened. Mm-hmm. As part of the Churban is we do not know why. We don't know why. Tzadik Viraloi, there is no mention. That would seem to support the Shoshal Sakabol, that not every Python agreed with the approach to go back and look for reasons. Blame yourself. Don't blame someone who came before you. Take responsibility for your own actions. There's a tzara. The door is there's a tzia on the door. Don't go look to blame your problems on someone who lived 2,000 years ago and say that you're a Gilgal. That's not a healthy way to live. That's certainly the impression you get when you read the piyut on Eila Eskira on Tisha B'Av. You don't have to go on Arze HaLavon on Tisha B'Av. However, if you look at all of the popular song that we have today, I can tell you with certainty is that the Shalshelis HaKabbalah is a very, very, represents a very small minority. Everyone is very, very pleased and very happy to blame it on the shift they caught, and we can wipe our hands clean. Yodeinu lo yishafchu hadom hazeh. It's not our fault. This was min hashamayim, going back to shift they caught. However, there is one very powerful var you have to appreciate, and that's why then do we bother reading it on Tisha B'Av? So the answer is, why was the Bayis Sheni destroyed? Sinas Chinam. Why was Yosef sold as a slave? Sinas Chinam. It's all the same. It's all the same. So even if you want to blame Yosef, why was he sold?
What was Sinas Chinam? They had a court case.
A court case?
Yeah.
They were jealous of him. He got the Ksoinas Apasim. He got the Ksoinas Apasim. It was all a lie. They fooled themselves. They had sinas chinam. Torah, that's the bottom line. They made believe. They were in denial. They were in denial. Ani Yosef ha'oira v'choy. V'lo yochlu echov lames oisa ki nifhalu mipanof. If they were so innocent, such tzaddikim, they wouldn't be so embarrassed. Oh, you Yosef? They would say, what are you still doing alive? We thought we got rid of you. They would take out a gun. They would kill him right on the spot. We thought we finished you off. What are you doing alive? If they really believe they did nothing wrong by selling him because Yosef was a roidef, he's a threat to Klal Yisrael, what are you doing here? They would kill him on the spot. The fact, v'lo yachlu echav la'anis oisekin nefhalu mipunem, because after 22 years they realized it was sinas chinam, plain and pashut. And they brainwashed themselves in thinking that this is a religious reason. It's religion. It's all in the name of Torah. You never heard that before? You never heard that before? You can kill someone, l'shem shemayim, Torah. You stab someone in the back, you steal his money. I did l'shem shemayim. You can make a nice big scene also. It's all l'shem shemayim. It's not about nothing about anything other than l'shem shemayim. You never heard that before? You're living in such a world?
So sinas doesn't mean no reason. They were jealous. That's a reason.
So you're saying that's not called chinam? You're saying lom shavard. I know what you're saying, but let's be very simple.
He annoyed them,
but it does not, just because you annoy a person doesn't mean you can sell them as a slave. There was terrible hatred among Jews. Today we have a Churban Bayis Sheni. Why was the Bayis Sheni Chorav? Chazal tell us why. They did us a very big favor. They told us why. They didn't just tell us, so we don't know. They told us why. Sinas Chinam. On the day when we focus on sinas chinam, and any generation where the midrash is not rebuilt in its days, it means you're guilty of destroying it. So every generation, we're guilty of sinas chinam. So on the day when we reflect upon sinas chinam, what better sin is there to reflect upon than Mechiras Yosef, which was the ultimate example of sinas chinam? That is why we read the kina of Veil Eskra. Okay, we're running out of time, so let me just tell you a few important points. The sin of Mechiras Yosef was a triple sin. And you have to remember this. Triple sin. Number one, the brothers sinned against their brother. They went and they caused their brother enormous agmas nefesh by showing him that we don't hold from you, you're a roideif, and they sold him, they stripped him naked. They were mevaz, now another whole time, they were mevazah him. They sold him with not just they sold him, they were mevazah him when they sold him. That's one element to the sin. There's another dimension to the sin, and that is they sinned against their father. They caused their father grief. Agmas nefesh. There's a third element which people don't talk about at all, but I see writes over here in this incredible Sefer Shari Nechama, Rabbi Tesner. His stuff is from the best of the best, especially on the Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks. I didn't find anyone that is mamish yoyred le'omkei shel sugya and all these matters like Rabbi Tesner. Shari Nechama, he has this is a supplement to the Sefer. And he writes there that they sinned. There's a shocking thing that he says. They also committed a third dimension of sin by sinning against their grandfather Yitzchak. Whoever talks about that? Yitzchak was still alive when this all happened. And Chazal tell us that Yitzchak knew al pi ruach HaKodesh that Yosef was alive. And he knew that his son Yaakov was mourning for nothing. And Yitzchak made a cheshbon and said, listen, if Hashem doesn't want to tell him, I'm not going to tell him. He made a cheshbon, whatever that cheshbon is. It's a very complicated cheshbon. I mean, he lived with them. They live all together, a big happy family. They live in Canaan. They're all living together. They're all living in Canaan. Yaakov came back. Yaakov came back to be with his father. They were all together, living in Eretz Yisrael. They were living there. There were 69 souls. They were living in that time. There was only, number 70 was born when they came down. There were 69 of them, maybe less, whatever it was, approximately. 69 people living together, big happy family. And Yaakov, every single day, sat Shiva. He never, vayimoein lehisnachem. He never got up from sitting Shiva. That's it. That's the way it was. Yitzchak is living in the house, an old man, okay? And he sees that his son has a lot of agmas nefesh. His son doesn't stop crying. His son is sitting there for 22 years. I don't know when he died, obviously, at some point in time.
Well, but the punishment is he died by imitation of Samuel Memory. 180 years comes out to the time when Yosef came out of the pit.
Two years later. So for 2 years, Yitzchak, practically 2 years then.
22, I mean, he knew Yosef was gone 22 years.
Yeah, but this whole thing
happened. 9 years.
9 years? Okay, whatever it is. A significant period of time. Yitzchak is living in the house. He sees what's going on. He sees that his son is in deep mourning. He sees the children. He knows they're guilty. He knows what's going on. And he sees, clearly, what kind of nachas does the Zayda have from this? So the Chazal asked that question. And Chazal say that the Yitzchak had no choice. I don't know the answer. I don't understand the answer. I don't know the answer. Right. They say Yitzchak was a very smart man. Let's not make any mistake. He's infinitely greater than we can imagine. He made a decision that the best thing is a good Zayde knows when to be quiet. Okay, they say that. They taka tell the grandparents. It's a different generation. You don't understand. You're not going to understand anything that you see your grandchildren do and your children. You don't relate to this. You don't believe in it. You don't understand it. It's right. Just keep quiet. Okay?
MS. Don't advise unless
Avigdor Miller says he's. We're out of time. We're out of time. Avigdor Miller says a grandparent is for one thing only. To open up your wallet. We're out of time. So let me just tell you, I'm going to finish with this thought. But let's just appreciate this. You're all grandparents, right? Appreciate this thought. What kind of golden years does Yitzchak have living in this home and seeing his son sitting on the floor every single day and seeing that his grandchildren are carrying a dirty secret? what they did. So what does that mean? Tzarechin Gadol. But from our perspective, what kind of golden years is he witnessing, observing? A grandparent's perspective on life is very different than your parents and than yourself. The brothers, by committing this crime, have committed three crimes. They did a terrible crime against their brother. They did a crime of enormous magnitude against their father. But they also commit a different type of crime of setting up a situation in their home where their grandfather cannot be a happy camper. In a very different way. The Agmas Nefesh of Yitzchak is very different than the Agmas Nefesh Yosef is suffering, and the Agmas Nefesh that the father is suffering. It's a whole different, it's not the type of golden years you're planning to retire to live, and your family is miserable, and to die in such a matzav. Did the brothers ever get mechila from Yosef?
No.
So that's a big debate. Some will say, absolutely, of course Yosef forgave them. Of course they forgave them. Some will say, doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk. Okay, so you'll open up the commentators, you're going to get a big, big topic of discussion. Question, did Yaakov Avinu ever forgive the children? Impossible, because seemingly Yaakov Avinu never knew. And he suffered 22 years because of the Agmas Nefesh. Did Yitzchak ever forgive his grandchildren for the Agmas Nefesh? So when we talk about forgiveness and we debate back and forth, the people will kill each other over this debate. They really are very heated in this debate. If there was a mechila, if Yosef was Michael the brothers, was Yaakov Michael his children? You don't have to ask mechila from your parents, Rabbi Yom Kippurim. Was Yitzchak Michael? It doesn't say anywhere such a thing. I hear what you're saying. He was Tevea, Chatzil, Chatziolai. So we are, just keep this in mind. There are three dimensions to the chait of Mechiras Yosef. When Chazal tell us to remember this chait and we focus on it, what are we focusing on? You can perhaps break up on Yom HaKippurim. What element are we focusing on? Are we focusing on what we did to Yaakov Avinu? Or is the focus of Yom Kippur what we did to Yosef? Tisha B'Av, who's the focus? L'chayra Tisha B'Av, we're not focusing on Yaakov. We're focusing on Yosef. It's all about Sinas Chinam. Yom HaKippurim, we're focusing on what we did to Yaakov. Now, when do we focus on what we did to Yitzchak? When you read the Parsha. When you read the Parshas HaShavua, Parshas, Mechiras Yosef, and what Parsha? Vayeshev. That's a day to reflect on what you did to the Zayda. Everything Chazal is kind of, you know, you don't overwhelm the students. You have to, one thing at a time. There are three dimensions. We make mention of Mechira three times a year. Three times a year do we mention it. We mention it very prominently on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av and Parshas Vayeshev. And in fact, we read the Haftorah. The Haftorah dwells Al Michram Bakesef Tzadik, even though when we learn the Psukim, almost no one discusses it. It's totally... And Adarabba, we prove it can't even be the Pshat right. When we learn it, because the whole thing doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, the Haftorah tells about it, and everyone likes to talk about it. We focus on it. Don't make a mistake. Parshas Vayeshev, it's the Haftorah. Why do you have to focus on three times a year? Three dimensions of chait. Yosef, Yaakov, Yitzchak. Parshas Vayeshev is a farewell to Yitzchak. Agmas Nefesh recalls Yitzchak. Yom HaKippurim is the Avos. Okay, we have to develop why that's so. That is Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, we're only focusing on one person, Yosef. We cause him Agmas Nefesh. Sinas Chinam. Because that's the theme of Yom HaKippur, of Tisha B'Av. Right, so that we only mention the shoes on Tisha B'Av. Okay, only Tisha we mentioned. We mentioned the Haftarah also. We mentioned the shoes also. Okay, that has to be discussed, but I just want to bring out at least this basic idea. Three dimensions, three times a year. And I believe you match it up. There's more, obviously, to work with. Each one has a different focus. Have a wonderful day.